This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. On January 18th, STLPR held a listening session at Verona Coffee Company in Collinsville. I got to sit that day with a man named Jeff Topol, who's been lucky to love dearly and well, someone who was prompted to attend the session because it's what his beloved late wife, Aida Audia, would have wanted him to do. It was a very cold winter day. What he shared warmed my heart and got me quite teary-eyed, too. And his stories have stayed with me since. With this Valentine's Day being his first without Aida, I reached out to Jeff to see if he'd be open to talking with me again and with all of you out there about the love of his life, how they met, what their relationship was like, why she was so special to him. He said yes with 3 exclamation marks, and I'm delighted to introduce him for today's show. Jeff, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you, Lane. Appreciate it.
Jeff, how are you today?
Physically okay, but emotionally a mess.
Mm-hmm. It's not been that long.
No,
right?
6 weeks.
Yeah. So, Jeff, was there something in the course of your getting to know one another that really confirmed for you, Aida is the one for me, and then also her feeling about that when it came to you?
It's hard to explain, but it was almost like magic the night I met her. It was mid-December 1978, and I was standing near the bar talking to a couple of gentlemen, and these 3 girls walked by. And one of them reached out to start talking to them, and I really wasn't paying that much attention. But when I looked up, across from me stood the absolutely most naturally beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. And she started talking to me. I thought, why does she want to talk to somebody like me? And I'd never met anyone like that before. I mean, she was beautiful. She was kind and attentive, just everything a person could ask for. And we were inseparable from that time on. And she did something really ugly to me on April Fool's Day.
Okay.
And Aida's mom worked in the canal zone in Panama, the country of Panama. And so Aida was raised in Panama, even though her mom was from Texas and her father was a U.S. citizen. Her father was a doctor, and he practiced in Panama, and her mother worked in the canal zone. Mm-hmm. And she told me on April Fool's Day, she had to move back to Panama.
Oh.
And it broke my heart, and then I knew... I knew it was real.
Okay.
And when she looked at me, she said, oh, my God, I didn't mean to hurt you.
Yeah, yeah.
I took you so seriously. It's April Fool's.
Oh, my gosh. So that's something
that's
not
when
true.
I really knew.
Right, right. So was she a joker then?
Oh, she had a sense of humor like no one I've ever met. She really did. The 2 of us could have been a comedy team.
Oh, boy.
Really
okay.
It was just remarkable.
You know, marriage is something that takes work.
Yes, it does.
And I mean, were there things that you had to iron out together that strengthened your marriage? I mean, it doesn't have to be anything serious. So if I may, for example, my husband has a habit of digging into jam or cream cheese and leaving big holes in
yes.
it. That drives me a little bit crazy. Were there any little things like that where you had some differences and then some bigger things that you worked through together?
Well, sure. Aida, from the time she was able to walk and talk, she liked to design things. And we decided to build a spec house. Okay, so we built a spec house.
And what is a spec house?
A spec house is a house you build with your own plans, and then it's brand new, you put it up for sale.
Mm.
So we did pretty well with that, made a little money, and there was some property going into foreclosure. So we took a big chance, and we took our money we made from the spec house and bought the property. And then we basically hawked everything we owned and put streets and sewers and water lines in and everything and that you need to develop a subdivision. And she ran all the crews. Ultimately, before the housing crash, we had 14 people working for us, 3 crews of framed houses and 2 concrete crews. Mm-hmm. And she ran them all. She did all the house designs. She did all the arting of materials. So I'm unpacking the kitchen cabinets for this one house, and I just can't believe what they look like. It looked like somebody took a hammer and just beat them up. Mm-hmm. So I called her and me and said, what did you do? What happened to these cabinets? She said, oh, those are distressed. We paid extra for that.
Oh, gosh.
I said, oh, my gosh, I could have taken my hammer and done it myself, and, okay. and we wouldn't have to pay extra for them. But it was just little things like that. It was very minor things, you know, just the thing way I wanted to do things and she wanted to do things. But it was her business. Mm-hmm. And so typically she always won. I'll say one more thing about her. We had a drywall crew would come in. And we built, we call them second houses for the person buying their second house. Mm-hmm. And she was such a good designer that the drywallers, when they got finished, and they were very good, they drywall a 2,000-square-foot house in 4 hours. They said, if we found a half a sheet of drywall left over, we knew we made a mistake because her design was so perfect, there's almost no waste.
The calculations down to smallest detail. You know, as I understand, Ida became ill with lymphoma.
Yes.
When that news came to you both, how did you respond to that?
Well, that's quite a story also. She had been sick to the point that she could barely move from room to room. And she had seen at least a dozen doctors, and no one could figure out what was wrong with her until she went to a cardiologist, and he took a chest x-ray, and the chest x-ray showed the mass in her lung. And so it was very aggressive. She had one lung was a total mass, and she had longer hair back then. Mm-hmm. And she actually had like a half of an orange sticking out of her lymph node on her neck, and we never noticed it.
Oh, wow.
As soon as we went into the oncologist, she walked right over and started pushing on. She saw it immediately. Mm-hmm. That's how doctors are such specialists. They only look at what their specialty is. Mm-hmm. And so she took a very, very aggressive chemotherapy. I mean, she was in the chair for 8-plus hours through 6 different treatments. Mm-hmm. And right after her last treatment, she had to have another X-ray, and the radiologist said, "Well, there's still a mass in your lung." So she made end of life counseling for us. Mm-hmm. And when we got in the oncologist's office, the oncologist had a big smile on her face, said, "You're free of cancer."
Wow.
And what the radiologist saw was scar tissue. Okay. So they gave us another 6 years together, but the aggressive chemo took out her kidneys, took out a lot of her vascular system, her heart. I mean, she was a 95% vegetarian, hardly ever ate meat. Mm-hmm. And her heart just broke down. She couldn't get stents in the blood vessels because they were so damaged from the chemo.
Jeff, how is it that you cared for each other during that time?
Well, luckily where I worked, they were very flexible. I took her to every appointment. We were here at Barnes 2 or 3 times a week for most of those 6 years. I finally retired so I could take better care of her. I simply was there aside at her beck and call. I mean, in the last 4 or 5 weeks, I sat there with her for about 18 hours a day.
One of the things that has stayed in my mind from our conversation on January 18th, you told me about a Corvette.
Yes, that's correct. I had, when I was younger, before her, I had motorcycles, I had Harleys. Mm-hmm. So we decided to buy a Harley. And then we bought another Harley. And we used to love to ride the River Road and go up to the different restaurants in Grafton. And the funny thing is, she was a perfect person to have behind you because she would just flow with the motorcycle when you went through the turns and everything. But it put her to sleep.
Oh, okay.
The vibration, and all
right.
She'd be sitting back there, and all of a sudden the bike would be going over the side, and I'd have to reach back there and push her back in the seat and tell her to wake up. So as she got sick, she couldn't ride anymore, and she loved to ride with me. And I said, well, baby Dolly, why don't we get a Corvette or something you can sleep in, and we can still do the same things we used to with the bike. And she said, okay, but on my conditions. She said, one, it's got to be red. Two, it's got to be a 6-speed manual. And three, it's got to be a convertible. If you can find that, I'll go along with it. So that's what I did. I found a Corvette, and we joined a local Corvette club, a Looking Glass Corvette club, a great family of 200 people, very supportive through all this. And we just really enjoyed that lifestyle from the time we got our first Corvette in, I guess it was about 2007 or 8.
Mm-hmm. Oh, quite some time ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It was before she got sick, but she still wasn't well enough to ride the motorcycle because she was going downhill at that point.
Jeff, you and Ida were together for 45 years, and this is going to be your first Valentine's Day since she passed on January 3rd. Were there any traditions that you had for February 14th or maybe something that you will start doing this year?
We did not have any traditions. The only tradition we had was not going out on Valentine's Day and fighting the crowds.
Oh, that's very wise.
We spent most of our Valentine's days together. We did go out. This is somewhat funny. We did go out one year for Valentine's Day. In my corporate job, I got a lot of spiffs in that. And somebody gave me a free meal to Hooters.
Oh, okay.
So I said, baby Dolly, why don't we go to Hooters for Valentine's Day? I said, oh, sure. She was a great sport.
Okay. I mean,
so we go to Hooters and sit down, and we got to have this real cute waitress.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at her. And I said, you are really cute. I said, do you have a grandmother that's available?
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh.
And I just cracked up. She was such a good sport. We just had so much fun like that.
Mm-hmm. And Ida, sounds like she had a great sense of...
Yes, she did.
Yeah. Sense of humor and two peas in a pod,
yes,
the
we
two
were.
Of you. I want to recognize that it has not been that long.
Is
it just
6 weeks?
6 weeks,
yes.
Since Ida's passing. And clearly the relationship that you had, husband and wife, yes, but you also described her as your best friend.
Oh, she was everything to me. I mean, she was totally devoted, kind, loyal, funny, and she was never jealous. I mean, when I met her, she was in her fourth year of pre-med, and she many times would study all night at SIU, you know, and neither one of us were jealous, and we never criticized each other. And she always took such an interest in whatever my job was. She knew it. I mean, I was in the heavy-duty diesel industry, and she knew about diesel engines and turbocharging and everything. We could actually carry on conversations that most people probably can't do at that level with their wife. Mm-hmm. She was empathetic. We were shopping for Thanksgiving at the grocery store back when you had to go through a checkout lane. And the cashier in front of us asked the gentleman in front of us what his plans were for Thanksgiving. And he said, well, I don't have anywhere to go. In a split second, Ida tapped him on the shoulder and invited him to our house.
No.
Yeah. The type of person she was. She said a stranger was a friend she'd never met. He didn't come, but everybody was always welcome at our house. Everybody.
Is there anything that you would like to say that I didn't ask about?
Well, I can tell you about the first time I cooked for her.
Oh, yes, please do.
I wanted to dazzle her with my culinary expertise, and I really didn't have any.
Okay.
So I went to the grocery store, and I bought two pork chops, and they were about an inch and a half thick. I invited her over. I broiled these pork chops, and they turned out to be as tough as shoe leather.
Okay.
With a wedge of iceberg lettuce and can of beans and the Thousand Island dressing. And it was probably one of the most horrible meals she ever had eaten. And she came from a family of professionals, so they were used to having nice china, nice silverware, cloth napkins, crystal. And I wasn't raised like that. And she told me, she gave me trouble over that for 46 years. She said, you know, if you weren't so hot, I would have left you right there in the spot.
Oh, my gosh. Well, and I think as we close here, Jeff, you had shared photos
yes.
from your wedding.
Yes.
What was your wedding like? What is your fondest memory of the day you came together as a couple?
Well, believe it or not, the vows. When I looked into her eyes, it was great big, beautiful brown eyes. I just knew everything was right. And as I said my vows, I said them from my heart. And she did too.
Jeff, thank you so much for talking with us about Ida.
Thank you for having me. And may I tell my baby Dolly?
Yes.
Happy Valentine's Day, sweetheart.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jeff Topol is the beloved husband of Aida. Aida passed away on January 3rd. She and Jeff spent 45 years together as husband, wife, and best friends in the Metro East.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury
and by Elaine Cha. Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.